Cloudy and windy, high 36, chance of much precipitation is quite slim. And Sunday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high 37 degrees. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We've got sunshine throughout southeast Wisconsin. How about that? 24 in Kenosha, 23 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 26 and mostly sunny at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN. Sunny skies, 25 degrees. The wind is out of the west at 15, gusting up to 22 miles an hour, giving us a wind chill index of a lucky 13. Ditto for the dew point. The relative humidity is 60%, and the barometric pressure, it's falling at 30.03. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin, for thank God it's Friday, December 30th, 2016, the only last Friday of 2016 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great new year. Big one for you today. Let's kick it off in fine fashion. Stones on our jam.
Fasten your metal seatbelt, then gently turn up your radio from 9 till 2. Glenn Klein will be on WRJN. And chances are, your life will never be the same.
Gotta let that sunshine in. The fifth dimension, the age of Aquarius, on your radio friend. It's 19 minutes after 9 o'clock, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable New Year's Eve package. Glenn Klein, it is a thank God. It's Friday morning. Huge program planned for you on this last Friday of the year. Don't go anywhere. Coming up after the great Tom Carco's newscast at the bottom of the hour, we are going to have representatives from the big Splash and Dash event coming up on New Year's Day at Racine's North Beach. Doors open at 7 o'clock at the Racine Yacht Club. I can attest to this from personal experience. Amazing Bloody Marys at the Racine Yacht Club for the Splash and Dash. And it's a benefit for all these wonderful charities and all these insane people take off all their clothes. Well, not all their clothes, but most of their clothes, and get into Lake Michigan for a good cause. Mr. Racine, Mark Eichhorst, will be out there doing his roving reporter bit. I might have to check it out again. It was a good time. Very nice people. Insane people, of course, that would get into Lake Michigan on January 1st. They're hoping some sunshine comes in. It was cold out there last year, man. But this winter has been brutal. And we're not even into January yet. See, last year when I moved from Tampa back to Wisconsin after 21 years, I made a deal with the Lord, and it's because of my personal relationship with the Almighty that it worked out this way. I said, I will go back to Wisconsin from sunny, warm, tropical Florida if we have a mild winter, which, if you will recall, we did. But I screwed up because I should have taken a 10-year contract with the Lord on it. Really upset. So, you know, what do? Got my tanning package at the gym. Get my vitamin D. And soldier on. Speaking of predictions, well, I predicted we would have a mild winter last year based on my deal with the Creator. The amazing Kreskin will be here next hour. Yes, he did not die in 2016. The amazing Kreskin from the Johnny Carson Show. He will be on Community Conversations, making his predictions for the coming year. We were supposed to have him a few days ago, but they double booked. And one would have thought that the amazing Kreskin would have known that they double booked. But apparently he did not get the memo. So he'll be here about 10:15, and then we will continue our community conversation on race with the local civil rights leader and the author of the great book on race, the only one in the room, Mill Thompson, will be here. And that'll be our Hour of Power coming after the news at 11 o'clock with our next installment of the moments and parallels in the history of the United States of America that led to this historic moment that we will see next month on January 20th when the United States inaugurates, following the first African-American president in history, America's first orange president, Donald John Trump. Apparently, he is personally writing his inaugural address with some help from some advisors, taking inspiration from John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Ronald Wilson Reagan. One thing is for sure, it ain't going to be boring. I am so frustrated and aggravated with the outgoing president, I can't even begin. Well, I can begin to articulate it, and I have been doing so. But in the last week, and in the waning days of his presidency, he finally decides to become a tough guy and get tough with Vlad Putin and the Ruskies. We're throwing out 35 of their diplomats. And what does Putin decide to do? Well, it was just announced. His foreign minister said they were going to retaliate and get rid of 35 of our guys and gals over there. Putin says not so fast. Very interesting geopolitical strategy by the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, and a good friend, apparently, of Donald Trump's. Maybe not so much, but definitely of the potentially incoming Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. Done a lot of business over there as old Rex in the former Soviet Union. CEO of ExxonMobil. And this thing with Israel is just absolutely bizarre. Great meme on Facebook this morning. It's got an image of John Kerry, the Secretary of State, appealing to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and it says, meet them halfway at least. And then there's an image of a guy from Hamas that has his list of things to do is death to all Jews. That's the reality that Israel is facing. With all the terrorism, with all of the violence, with all of the man's inhumanity to man all over the planet, who does the United States decide to take up a UN resolution against? Israel. Israel. Why didn't President Obama do these sanctions against Russia before the election, I wonder? Could it be for the same reason that he was articulating ISIS as the JV squad before his re-election in 2012? that terrorism was, they actually were considering announcing that terrorism had been effectively dealt with before that election. Was it the same reason that they said that the attack on our ambassador in Benghazi, on the mission there in Libya, was motivated by a video and was not terrorism? Because that did not fit his storyline for re-election? Could it be that Barack Obama really is only interested in his own legacy? He says he would have won re-election if he was allowed to run a third time, but he appealed to the Black caucus and the African-American community to, if you remember, he was yelling at them, if you care about my legacy, it's always about him. He doesn't say, for example, that the attorney general is the attorney general or our attorney general. He says my attorney general, my joint chiefs of staff, my secretary of the treasury. This guy is a classic narcissist in a different modality and package than the incoming narcissist. But a narcissist nonetheless. And here's the thing. Here's the difference between Obama and Bill Clinton. Obama was not willing to adjust to the realities on the ground. Bill Clinton, if you remember, he made the adjustments after he got decimated in his first midterm election. When Barack Obama described his first midterm election debacle as a shellacking, he didn't make the adjustment. Bill Clinton brought in Dick Morris, one of the more creepy individuals on the planet, but nonetheless, apparently a fairly sharp political operative. And he does the triangulation thing, where he triangulates himself between the Liberal Democrats and the Republicans, and he wins re-election, and then we have negotiations, and we have balanced budgets, and we have welfare reform with Newt Gingrich. And then this little thing called the Monica Lewinsky scandal happened. But we won't talk about that right now. Barack Obama wouldn't make those same adjustments. There is some optimism that the incoming president-elect, Donald John Trump, because he's so interested in nothing else but just quote-unquote winning, that maybe he will make the adjustments and do what needs to be done in order to move this thing forward. Because going into the new year, it ain't a pretty picture.
Like meeting a friend at your favorite coffee shop. WRJN, your radio friend.
And what do friends do at coffee shops? They discuss life and politics and religion. Everything you're not supposed to discuss at a coffee shop or a bar. We do on the radio. This is Glenn Klein. Coming up momentarily, another potentially award-winning newscast from the great Tom Carco. But first, I'm getting hungry already. I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning, so I could definitely use some of this.
Are you craving wings? Wingstop in Racine has you covered. Enjoy tasty flavors from Original Hot.
After that, quite cold, and Thursday and Friday will be quite a bit colder than it is now. So today, windy with times of clouds and sunshine, high 32, mostly cloudy tonight, low 28. More rather cloudy and windy, high 36. And for New Year's Day, times of clouds and sunshine, high 37. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Right now in Kenosha, it is 24 degrees, also 24 in Burlington, Milwaukee 26, 25 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
What did he say for New Year's Day?
Mid-30s.
Wow. The people that just entered the studio for the next community conversation will be very happy to hear that. It is the Splash and Dash Entourage.
Yeah. I've been down there when it's really cold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last year it was brutal. Bloody Mary's there at the Racine Yacht Club. It made it better, though.
Did you ever get out of the building?
Yeah, I went and watched the other people.
Binoculars?
The insane people. I don't think the warmer weather, though, will help with shrinkage, if you know what I'm saying. Because Lake Michigan is just, it's as cold as it's going to be, regardless of the air temperature.
It's an unkind lake.
It's a very good way to put it. So, you know, we have the end of the year lists, which we love. And by the way, the amazing Kreskin will be here later with his list, his predictions for 2017. That guy's still alive.
Who would have predicted that?
That's breaking news. Everybody who died in 2016 and the amazing Kreskin is still alive?
Yeah, go figure.
I wonder how many people. Let's take. We have a bevy of beautiful humans in the studio. Let's take a poll. How many people have heard of the amazing Kreskin? Raise your hand. I have 75%. We're old.
Yeah.
The great Tom Carco and I. Well, you're the great Tom Carco, and the amazing Kreskin will be here about 10:15. But they have a list of the top most annoying words for 2016. Number one, and it was polled at about 36%, the term whatever. You know when people just want to cast aside whatever you have to say, dismiss your point, whatever. I don't like whatever. Remember the guy that got drunk on my couch on Christmas Eve, my friend, who was supposed to make Christmas Eve dinner for me, but never woke up? Well, he woke up eventually. He says whatever all the time. Drove me nuts all weekend. Whatever. Are you still there, Tom?
Yeah, whatever.
The second most popular offending word or phrase was no offense, but. When you hear somebody say no offense, but, you know, something offensive is coming.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's kind of like when people say with all due respect. They're about to disrespect you. That was tied with I can't even. The phrase, I can't even. I can't even do this. I can't even imagine it. A few folks said that during the course of this year, especially after November 8th. They said, yeah. I can't even believe he's going to be president. The next one was, you know, right? You know, right?
You know, comma, right?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. That was... And here's another. I have so many annoying things that people say. Like when people say, "To be honest with you," they preface, "or I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you." Why do people have to say that? I'm not expecting them to lie to me. I'm expecting them to be honest with me.
Everybody?
To tell you the truth. Well, what are you about to tell me? And the fifth most annoying word, 8% people polled at this, the word "huge." But apparently it's the way that you pronounce the word "huge" is irksome to some beautiful
irksome.
Humans. Irksome.
Ah, nice.
When certain people who, well, frankly, may be the most powerful man on the planet, well, he will be on January 20th. Apparently when he goes, "huge," there's at least 8% of the people don't like that one.
Speaking of which, you see the giant chicken over in China? It's got a Donald Trump hairdo on it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good look, I'm sure.
If you Googled it up, I think you could find it.
A giant chicken.
Yeah, it's like it's some statue or some inflatable thing, whatever. It's got the gold hair.
Is that what color that is?
Whatever. It's huge, though.
I'll tell you what is huge is the Packers game coming up on Sunday night against the Detroit Lions in Motown. Packers win, and they are NFC North champions.
From Wisconsin Radio Network Sports, this is the Titletown Report. Now,